All you Twiglets and Midheads, welcome back to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am, of course, your guy, Mitts. With me, as always, the incomparable Twigs. Gang, we are finally here. The Stanley Cup playoffs have come to their crescendo, and we get to see the two best teams, or the two last teams, facing off for the hardest trophy in sports. Tampa Bay did us a real favor by finishing things up in six. We talked about it. We didn't know what we were going to have to do with today's episode if we had to kind of just push that along down the road. And then not to mention, next week's episode would have been like halfway through.
Yes.
So it did us a favor. Thank you very much, Tampa Bay. On the other side, of course, we have the Colorado Avalanche, who have faced very little trouble on their way, and the little trouble that they did have, they just ran him in the goaltender and took him out of the series. So here we are, the two remaining teams, the last team left in the Western Conference Finals, and the rest of the conference, the last team in the East. Man, Ty, how you feeling? How you feeling about everything? Give it to me.
It's here. This is what we do the podcast for, is for the final two teams. We're coming to the climax, as she would say. We're to that point, right? We're just ready to get, like, watch Tampa Bay win another cup. It's just unfair. You know, Vancouver's never even won a cup, and these guys are going to three in a row. So, I don't know. It's awesome. It's exciting. Thank you, Tampa Bay. Actually, thank you, Steven Stamkos, for, like, instantly scoring after New York did, because I was not ready for a game seven or prolonging this. Cause I think the schedule was longer too, cause there was a Justin Bieber concert, but I don't think that was going to happen. He's like got half his face is paralyzed right now. So he was canceling shows. So I don't even know if that was going to happen, but thank you, Tampa. And yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's get this off season. Let's get the Stanley Cup finals and then the off season going.
Yeah. I got to tip my cap to these athletes, because just as a follower, as a fan, I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
I haven't had enough hockey, but you know, it's like I recently had the vacation. Towards the end of the vacation, you're still enjoying yourself, you're still having a good time, but you kind of start to miss regular life. And yeah, I think we're getting to that point where I think we're going to see an amazing Stanley Cup Finals, but the playoffs are a slog, and I'm happy that we are finally here. To get here, both teams had to go through varying challenges. I mean, on the Tampa Bay side, on the Eastern Conference side, there's still got to be some salty Leafs fans out there saying that should be us right now. They had them... and they were a hair away from getting past Tampa. And I think in a lot of ways, really the only team that looked like they had Tampa in any danger, in my opinion.
Are you just trying to feed these Toronto fans that are already, like, all day on Twitter has been, we have lost to three of the last four Stanley Cup final teams in the Eastern Conference? I go, that's the first round. You still have to win how many more games? Like eight more games to get to the Stanley Cup Finals after that first round. You're just getting your feet in. You're just dipping them in. But I'll let you go. You can celebrate the Leafs. I'll allow it, I guess.
I'm just saying they had a heck of a series, and it was. And I think it could have gone either way. Following that, and I'm definitely going to cut this moment out. Who did they play in the second round?
Florida. Oh, we swept them.
I'm not going to cut that out, because they are a forgettable bunch of players.
Oh, God.
Florida is currently in the process, time of recording, of cleaning out their entire coaching staff.
Yeah.
The only man standing right now, I think Andrew Brené and the goaltending coach are the only two left at this moment. That are still currently employed, but we'll see what happens there. All jokes aside, Florida had a fantastic season, but they kind of ran into the situation that I called months ago. They didn't have the veteran leadership that's been there before. They didn't have the coaching staff that's been there before, and they went up against a wagon of a team in Tampa Bay. You just,
right.
That's when you get this late in the season. That's when, you know, that's where those little edges, I guess, really, really mean more. Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, you had Florida at least showing up in that series. I know.
Yeah, it's tough when you, oh man, and this is why I went 8-for-8 in the first round. Was on a roll. Was feeling good, feeling awesome, and I have like completely fallen off a cliff. Like just been, I don't know what's happening, but I did pick Florida. I thought Braden Point, who's been the biggest playoff performer other than Andre Vasilevskiy for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the past previous years, has been their biggest playoff player. And he wasn't there. He wasn't playing at all. So I thought that was going to be a huge loss for them. Tampa was like, put that on the back burner. We're going to sweep these foos. And let's just talk about Florida for one sec while we're on them. I know it's a little off topic. And you have been nail on the head saying Florida's coaching staff was not ready. Their team was not ready. They've never been there. Nobody's really been there. And then the leading candidate for the coaching job is Jeff Blashill. Like Detroit Red Wings, Blashill. You fire all your coaching staff that just, like, they were one of the highest scoring teams in cap era. Mm-hmm. I get like, hey, let's maybe get a head coach, put Andrew Burnett back. Let's get the guy. But to fire all your coaching staff, and this just might be me, does that seem weird to you?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I go, wouldn't you want to run it back? And maybe that's where I like the patience of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, you know, made it to this Eastern Conference Finals and made it to the Stanley Cup Finals before, lost, right? And then they kept the core together, added, tweaked all the same staff. Didn't really blow it up. Florida's like, no, we don't want to follow that. We want to blow it up. We want to fire everybody. And we want to bench Anthony Duclair in a series ending game, right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, Florida is weird. It's weird.
I would have totally understood if they had parted with Andrew Bernier right away. You know, if they had said, look, this didn't work. We're not going to give you the head coaching position. We're going to find somebody. And he was like, I think I'm ready. And I would admit that would have made total sense to me. But the supporting staff, the assistant coaches, the positional coaches, why wouldn't you wait till you bring someone in? Like, unless Andrew Bernier went in there and he said, it was all their fault, not mine. And they were like, oh, good point. Unless that's their strategy. But even then, until you cement the head coach, whether it's through confirming that Andrew Bernier is the guy or hiring a new guy,
yeah,
why would you fire them in advance? A new guy might come in and be like, you guys, this is one of the best scoring team, I don't want to change that. I want to keep this guy, like, let's keep it in here. It's wild because it's a team that should be kind of running it back. They should take what they learned and add little bits here and there and help get themselves over the hump. This isn't a blow it up, try it all. I don't know.
No,
maybe this time next year we'll be eating our words, but sounds ridiculous.
Especially when you have Claude Giroux, who came out and said, I came to Florida to win a cup. Like, that gives you inklings or signs that he is willing to sign there and not go to Ottawa, which everybody's been rumoring, you know, and clamoring for, like, finally the Ottawa Senators are going to get a number one center. Other than Josh Norris is pretty solid. It makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I get, like, you don't like Andrew Burnett and as a head coach, or think he's quite ready yet. Maybe I'll say it that way. He's better than Blashill. Like, I would take him over Blashill in a heartbeat.
I mean, if you're going to take a chance on a guy, I'd rather take a chance on a guy who doesn't have a terrible resume. Like, Andrew Burnett has no real resume,
but he was still second Blashill, in Jack Adams.
Well, that was ridiculous. We talked about this. No, he had no business being in there.
You're wrong.
He had business.
You're wrong.
And there's a reason why your man ran away with it. They positioned him as 1, 2, and 3, but it was Sutter all the way, and the other two were tossed in there as feel-good stories. They had it. There was no business being in there.
I was actually shocked Gallant wasn't second. I was actually shocked Gallant wasn't second.
Gallant had no business in there.
Oh, stop with this blasphemy, this garbage. What are you? Burnett is second. Clearly, Gallant belonged in the top two. Clearly.
No, not a chance. New York couldn't score 5-on-5.
Igor.
He didn't get there. Igor got them there. They had a lot of talent on that team, and he's not a terrible coach. It's not one of the other.
Oh, he's
a top 15. He's a top 15.
Oh, top 10. I mean,
they played well, but he didn't do nearly the heavy lifting that Bruce Boudreau did to get his team into relevancy. Andrew Brunet, they were already a wagon when they put him in there. Ron Francis did a better job and had more to show for in the regular season than those guys.
Like GM Ron Francis?
Of course,
I'm so confused.
Sorry, Brindamore, right? Rod?
Oh, Rod Brindamore, yeah. I was like,
Rod Hurricanes.
You're cheering on the Kraken? I'm so confused. You hate the Kraken.
I hate what they did with their opportunity.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We should do an episode, and we're going way off base. We should do an episode on what they should have done a full year later. Like, basically, just we take the same players and actually pick a good team, even though we know what happens in the future. But could you imagine not taking Vladimir Tarasenko? What a freaking! All right, I'm way off topic.
Imagine taking only developmental guys to keep your salary cap low, and then not, and then wasting some of your picks on free agents that you could have signed anyways, and then not spending anywhere near the cap or taking on cap to accumulate draft picks.
Yeah,
and then at the deadline, trading one or two guys, and not making any moves, and talking about how you're getting ready. Like, could you imagine just failing and failing?
Yeah,
and failing. I mean, at least Andrew Brunet failed into the playoffs.
He still won a round. He got as far as Calgary, St. Louis, and
he didn't get as far as St. Louis because they won two games, and I mean, even Calgary won a game.
That's true. All right, let's get off Florida. Let's just get off it.
Yeah, let's just stop beating that dead cat.
Yeah. That's going to be our first t-shirt. Don't forget. Yeah, okay, we're off the rails.
Oh, but that brings us to the third round of these conference finals. New York came out swinging. New York came out on fire, and I mean, maybe Tampa Bay, maybe there was nobody in that room that was scared, but I know a lot of fans were probably a little bit shocked to go down 2-0 against New York. I think New York kind of regressed a little bit, not heavily so, but their 5-on-5 numbers peaked those first game or two, and then they kind of fell off and went back to who they were, who we expected them to be. And then Tampa showed us that championship pedigree that they have, and then just put the foot down, took care of business.
Yeah, I think you saw what happened with Florida too, is when you finish a series early and the other series goes a little bit longer, usually there's regression, right? Like, and I think this is my fear for the Colorado Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Finals. They've been off a full week before, and Tampa's just been continuing playing, and you lose that, and that focus that you're in, that step that you have, you're coming out flying. And you saw that with Tampa in the third round, the start of the third round, where New York took 7 to beat Carolina, right? And they were rolling, they were loving it, and they came out, won two games, and then all of a sudden Tampa's like, oh, we're still in this thing. And they just won 4 in a row, which is unbelievable, right? Again, with no Braden Point, who we thought was going to play yesterday. But let's give all the credit to New York. Those games were close. There was not really any. Tampa didn't run away with this. And John Cooper said post-game, playing 20 games in 40 days is insane. That's a lot of hockey. You know what I mean? So I'm sure there was some wear and tear in the Rangers, but they're in a good spot. Nobody, other than me, nobody else projected them to be that high in the Metro or go far in the playoffs. So good on New York Rangers. They have a bright future. That team's stacked. They're going to have some big decisions to make cap wise. Capo Kako, are they going to trade him, sign him, whatever? But yeah, Tampa Bay is just a different animal. This team is built right. This team went through the downs, just like Colorado's finally getting its first little taste of up and success. Tampa's been there, done that. They're ready to go.
Yeah, I think it'll be something we talk about probably maybe even for like half an episode in this offseason. I think New York's going to be really interesting to watch because they've got a lot of important pieces coming back. Obviously, Shesterkin's locked up for a couple of years. Basically, their top six are all coming back and have locked up for a number of years. And I'd say arguably their top four defensemen aren't going anywhere. And outside of Trouba, they're a young core. And so this is a health allowing going to be a group that should take a big jump.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting though, because they've got to fill in that bottom six. They've got to fill in that depth and they've got to back up Shesterkin. I mean, I think that he is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. That's not a stretch. I'm not going on a limb. No. I think he probably should have won or should win like league MVP. But he, you know, he only played like 50 something games. So that's a pretty sizable chunk of games that they need a tender back there for. It's, you know, Gorgiev did pretty well for them.
I think his contract's up this year, right?
Yeah, he's. I think he's
RFA. Is he? I think he's RFA. I'll check right now. I got it up. But I'm pretty positive that you're right. And also, he was on the trade block on trade deadline day. Gorgiev is an RFA. Hmm. Yeah, this was probably his last year of RFA.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think it'd be tough for to bring him back simply because at the start of the season, I think he voiced some interest in having an opportunity somewhere else. He saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of goaltender needy teams out there. So they could probably work something out where they get a little something back for him and they send his rights somewhere. And then say Edmonton gives up a first round draft pick for him. Because Ken Holland will definitely do something like that after saying he won't do it. That just sounds like a Ken Holland thing to do. But back to the matter at hand. That's Tampa Bay's road to the cup. They went through those teams. And yeah, I think that this is a team that has won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships, asterisks. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how that plays a part for them, because they are on the verge of setting a dynasty that we haven't seen in hockey in like 40 years.
Yeah.
And then the other side, you've got a team that probably would like to mirror that. For a lot of people, for a couple of years now, have been kind of calling it and expecting it with the Colorado Avalanche. So is this going to be the pièce de résistance, that real cementing of a legacy for Tampa, or is this the emergence that we're finally been waiting to see of the pasta-free Colorado Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon? Talking about their road, I definitely want to make some jokes and take some shots at their expense, but I need to preface this by saying we all predicted that Colorado would be very, very tough team in the playoffs. I think a lot of us saw an obvious route for them to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, first round, they get what was arguably the regular season nemesis in the Nashville Predators, a team that owned them, despite the records being vastly different, owned them head to head. A big physical team with guys playing well above any level that they had for a number of years. But yeah, Colorado got real lucky and they got to play against a house league goaltender for most of that series who played amazing. But I mean, what would you expect? You got one of the best teams in the NHL today going up against a guy who was probably eating chips and guacamole on his couch the day before he got started. So they got a pretty easy, I don't want to understand. They're a great team, but they got a pretty easy path through the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair to say. I don't think it's a stretch. I do think Ingram's story is really crazy. What was it? I think it was a year ago. He was in the substance abuse program, if I recall. And he came back and he fought through that. And he was Nashville's best player by a mile. He was unbelievable. Almost stole a couple games for Nashville. Which is crazy to say, because I think the biggest concern was, hey, David Riddick, hey, like once you go, like he's going to be a problem. And then they put Ingram in, well, this is going to be just easier than Riddick. And he actually played well, which is amazing because UC Saros was that team's backbone, kind of like the New York Rangers model where you ride a goalie all year and it, you know, proves to do you well, right? So, and then they lose him against the game in Calgary, which was highly entertaining. Non-ice, non-in-game injury. He pulled something, I guess aggravated something, and he was out high. Was it high ankle? I think it was high ankle.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But yeah, so easy matchup for them. Colorado did well, got their gears going, and then on to round two.
Yeah, round two where Colorado faced the only team to give them any kind of a real challenge at this point. A team that I think some smart people had winning that series, and an injury or two aside may have, but they didn't. The St. Louis Blues, my St. Louis Blues, fell to the Colorado Avalanche yet again in six games. But yeah, even in those games where the Blues won, even in those games where I felt like they were in it, watching them play, it was watching the Blues play great hockey and then just have a momentary lapse. And next thing you know, it's basically a 3-on-1 with three of the best players in the world. You know, they couldn't make any mistakes without Colorado capitalizing. And I think it got to the point at certain points, and I think we're almost there now, where it almost doesn't matter who's net for Colorado. With no disrespect to Kemper or Francois, or however we're pronouncing his name, I don't know.
I think it's Francois, isn't it?
Francois, yeah.
I think, I can't remember.
Yeah, I was hearing another broadcast, and it took me a little while to figure that out. But I almost feels like you could just put a pile on back there with how well they're playing in front, with how well the defense is just cycling back, getting in the way, and then breaking out, and everyone's bought in. So yeah, the St. Louis Blues put up a little bit of a fight, the biggest fight I think they've seen so far, to this point anyways, even, but they couldn't get it done either. And they moved on to fight the Edmonton Oilers.
This series should have went longer. It was so fun. Again, I think actually every Edmonton Oilers series was a ton of fun because there's like zero defense from the Oilers and it's just back and forth. Like it was crazy. It was like, how many goals is this game going to be? Right. Game one against the Flames, it was what? 9-6, right? Crazy score. And then it was 8-6 for the Oilers and Colorado Avalanche game one. And then game two even led up, like it was the same. And then they kind of came back down to earth when they went to Colorado, where it was 4-0 one game on the back of Francois and the depth of the Colorado Avalanche. And they lost Kadri right at the start of that game. And then game four was highly entertaining, where Edmonton had a lead. It was 3-1, and Mike Smith had to go and do Mike Smith things. He just had to start playing the puck. And I just want to say this, just so I'm on record for saying this. Just because you play the puck a lot does not mean you're good at playing the puck. I get it being aggressive and going out there and trying to make sure your defensemen don't get hit or whatever. But I think I watched every Edmonton Oilers game this postseason and almost all of them or majority of them. I got most of the games in the regular season, fantasy implications, and also my staff is all Edmonton Oilers fans, and it's ridiculous. That guy loves it. Just he turns the puck over, and what sucks is he's actually a really good goalie if he just stays in the net. Like, and he's aggressive, and he'll control the blue paint. But once he drifts out and he feels like he needs to, you know, be involved in the game a little more than he should be, that game's over. And it literally happened. Like, it just did. And I hate blaming a certain person. Well, I'm going to blame two people. Darnell Nurse, you suck, my guy. And Mike Smith, bro, it might be time to hang it up. It just might be. And I don't know.
I'm pretty excited because now I have you on tape saying Mike Smith is a great goaltender. So I'm going to clip that and save that.
In the net.
Mike Smith is one of, if not the best goaltenders in terms of like stick handling. He is. He really is. However, he makes some atrocious decisions. Sometimes at this point, especially this part in his career, he lets his idea of his skills get in the way of the best judgment. And that was a play which he shouldn't have made that play. Granted, bouncing it off the referee, off the lineman, that's like a shoot. That's a little bit of a, wow, what are the odds of that? I don't know, if you aim at him, they're pretty good. And then Darnell Nurse kind of giving him a little bit of a nudge, helping that goal in. There's a lot of things working against him there. However, had he just made the safer, smarter play of just tucking the puck back,
just don't leave the net.
He doesn't have it.
Just don't leave the net. It's 3-1. You just have to play smart, and then you live another day. Like, there's no need to be reckless.
He can't live outside of his nature, though. That's whom he is.
No, you can live when you're about to be eliminated. You can make sure you're in check. You can play your game, and you can make sure it's 3-1. You're controlling the game. You're finally beating a Colorado goaltender and having the lead, because game one, it was like 7-2, just because the game was 8-6. It was never, ever that close, but you finally have the lead. Smart, man. Just be smart. And it sucks that the most chaotic goalie in the NHL has till July 1st to decide if he's going to retire or not, because the Mike Smith jokes are amazing. Like, I love it. Like, I sent memes to my friend group, like, for 2 days of just Mike Smith. There was like a harpoon one. There were some other ones I sent him about a graph of like good stick handling and like all the other goalies. And he was way in the bottom. I was eating it up. And selfishly, I know I just said he should retire, but like, I maybe don't want him to retire, because this is so much fun, because I don't want to see the Edmonton Oilers succeed. As you can tell, if you're watching on YouTube, my back of the wall is Flames. And no, I don't just cheer for the next Canadian team. That's bogus. That logic doesn't even make sense. And I selfishly, Mike Smith is, he's a lot of enjoyment. He just is.
He's too entertaining to just let him disappear into the sunset like that. And I want to talk about Darnell Nurse here, because when healthy, I do think that Darnell Nurse is a hell of a defenseman and great. But I think this really kind of ties into something that we've talked about in the past, and that we talk about on more than I wish we felt like we had to. But Darnell Nurse was out there playing. He had torn something in his hip, was it?
It was something with his hip. I can't remember.
Like a severe injury.
There was no surgery required. I will say that. That was a plus for Nurse. Like, most of the time when those big injuries happen, surgery requires, and then you're out for a long time. We're seeing that with McAvoy, Marchand, Sean Monahan, Tyler Seguin last year, like a lot of players, right? So good on that. He isn't seriously hurt.
No, but he's playing through a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And let's call it what it was. He wasn't playing well in a lot of pain.
No. 11 of the 13 goals, he was on the ice.
Why are we, as a group, hockey people, hockey fans, hockey culture,
yeah,
why do we want to reward that? He was hurting his team by playing through the pain. You know, maybe he could have played in a specific role. You know, maybe if his offensive capability was still there, or maybe if he, I don't know, you could have limited his ice time and had him only playing 10 minutes a game, where he was still out there, still on the bench with the fellows. If there's some kind of benefit to it, maybe he lifts the spirits up. I don't know. But the amount of time he was playing on the ice, he was a detriment to the team. His numbers will show that. And that's why all playoffs long, everyone was bagging on him. Every miscue, every, you know, misplay, he didn't look good. And of course, he was not talking about the injury. They don't talk about injuries. And then as soon as it's over, it's, oh yeah, I was playing hurt. I was like, well, yeah, man. And you stank it up out there. So who were you really helping? Who, like, why not? And not just him, but to the team, to the coaching staff. Like, even if he's not open about that injury, how does Jay Woodcroft not see this guy who's like a $10 million defenseman and say, hey bud, you're not pulling your weight out there? And then, I've talked to you about this last game. Let's look at some things on this tape here. We can't have you out there. you're hurting the team. Where is that? Where is that leadership and that guidance of being able to identify a player that's not playing well enough to justify that ice time? I don't think he wasn't the reason they lost, but he certainly helped. Oh, he's a big
part. It was a huge part they lost, why they lost. Our buddy in the our fantasy hockey, and he is a big I shouldn't have said his full name, but I did. maybe we'll just beep out the last name. I follow him on Instagram. On Twitter, and like a lot of Oilers fans, I think there was a lot of outcry for actually benching Darnell Nurse. There's like this warrior mentality, and I talk about it all the time because I think it's the dumbest thing in the world, that we are celebrating these players, these athletes who already put their body on the line so much, who already go through so many things that we don't actually know or even have a clue about, that they just ramp it up because winning is everything. And I love success. I get pissed off when the Flames lose. Am I like that Rangers fans that knocked out the Tampa Bay fan this past couple of days? No, that's crazy. And I think I talked about that last pod, or it was a couple pods ago. It just makes no sense to me, because literally you're shortening your career. I had a chat or a little thread on Twitter with the Chicago boys, where when they posted a photo about Tanev and all his injuries. So Tanev's finally played in his whole career. Before he came to Calgary, he never played a full season. Never. Injuries always shut him down. Comes to Calgary, he plays two full seasons. Yes, one was a shortened season, but that's okay. He still played it full. And then it comes out that he's playing through all these injuries, and he has like three surgeries or something like that. Why is that smart for a guy that is already injury prone to be playing through these injuries in a meaningless game when you're down in the series 0-3? I can make the argument for the Stanley Cup Finals game or whatever, where Steven Stamkos came out for like, what, two shifts, scored a goal and left, right? That was last year. But yeah, this makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me to shorten your career. You're hurting the team in the long run. The Calgary Flames have Sean Monahan, who was a 30-goal scorer. Like, you could just bank on him scoring 30 goals every season. Now, he's got two hip surgeries in the past 2 years, and you have no idea who the player is. And he's 26, 27? That is not how young a man's career should end, because of teams' arrogance, teams' inability to tell that player to, hey, maybe sit it down, we're going to shut you down. It just, I don't know, and it makes me so mad. And the Darnell Nurse thing, yeah, that makes me mad too. Now, can we talk about Leon Draisaitl? I don't think this guy was actually that hurt. And if he was, he might be the greatest player ever. Like, he put up 17 points in 5 games against Calgary Flames. He was still over a point per game in the Colorado series. Like, he is insane. Yes, was his slappers a little bit weaker? Maybe the ankle hurts a bit. But yeah, even he said after his press conference, I'm fine, I'm not injured, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Darnell Nurse, he shouldn't have been playing, but I get it. But man, you just hurt your team in the long run, and you're going to hurt your career in the even longer run.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this warrior mentality. And if he was hurt, then, you know, get better, take care of yourself, the team. You're an investment for the team long term. You're a human being. You know, take care of yourself. I still don't love it, but the argument can be made that if you're playing through that pain and you're producing like Leon was, it makes sense. It makes sense why you're doing that. I can understand that you are making a difference. Mm-hmm. Darnell Nurse was not helping his team, not by any metric that you can calculate or identify.
No. Offensively and defensively, analytically, he was atrocious. Like, atrocious. Like, it wasn't even like, buddy, you're terrible right now. Like, everybody's like, you can't skate. You're not rotating. You can't pick up a guy. We've all been hurt. When you're hurt, your brain instantly focuses on that injury, right? You're like, oh, I don't want to tweak it or anything like that. So then the other things don't matter. And I'm sure at that high of a level, it's even harder to do that, right? So, no, the two biggest fault, you know, were Mike Smith and Darnell Nurse. But I do want to give credit to three players. I think Zach Hyman is unbelievable. And last offseason, I ridiculed and blasted Oilers fans. Man, that's such a long contract, and he's never produced in Toronto. Really, he was one of the best players in this postseason. He was unbelievable. Yeah. Connor McDavid, he is a talent, like a talent. And Leon Draisaitl, my guy, if you were hurt, you were unbelievable, and you might be better than Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and all these players, because the amount of points he was putting up, and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Connor is, and Leon, you know, I guess in a lot of ways are both exactly the players we thought they were, we would hope they would be. But in other ways, they kind of took it to another level where they do deserve some credit. Zach Hyman, I'm with you 100%, because that was a guy that this was exactly, in a lot of ways, what he was brought in here for.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always there and obvious and working in the regular season, but come playoff time, boy, he earned his money, and he made it seem like it made a lot of sense. And, you know, I mean, the Oilers had their struggles against the Kings. They didn't have a lot of struggles against the Flames, sorry to say. But they got kind of outclassed when they got against Colorado. You know, they were kind of there, but not. You know,
it was game one. Connor McDavid has the edge on, and we've all seen the highlight on every single Twitter thread that you bring up about Connor McDavid and Colorado Avalanche or Cale Makar and the Edmonton Oilers, right? Like where they're playing against. I'm not saying they're playing for that team, against who they're playing against. Connor McDavid's got the outside, and he does it like every game. He skates really fast on the outside and cuts into the net and somehow works magic. And usually you beat every defender in the NHL. Although Cale Makar can skate just as fast backwards as Connor can forwards, right? Like the Colorado Avalanche are unfair. Like, let's think about this. And maybe it's because we watched so many games in the regular season and they were so dominant and we really didn't think anything of it, right? Nazem Kadri and Mikko Rantanen were on their second line. Mm-hmm. Like, you could argue that's that's better than half the teams in the league's first line. Easily, right? Yeah. An 87 point center, and I can't remember, Mikko Rantanen potted 40 something goals this year, I'm pretty sure. I think, if I can't recall. And then they went and picked up this Artturi Lehkonen, who, I'm sorry, Montreal, what you doing? I get you're going to rebuild. This is a guy I would not have parted with. And you got Taves on the back end as well, who the freaking Islanders just gave away. Here you go, Sakic. Have Taves for 2 second round picks. This kid's amazing. I don't know. This team's deep. And, you lose your number one goalie? Oh, that's okay. We got Francois on the back. This guy should be a starter. So the Colorado Avalanche are juggernauts, and they are fun. And they've lost two games. Two. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I might pump the brakes on should be a starter. Francois is going to play well enough. We'll talk a little bit more about the finals. I think he's an excellent 1B. I'll give him that for the most part. I think the only thing that, I don't know if it's good or bad coming out of Edmonton, but I think we joked about it throughout the season, especially during the lows. This was the situation that Edmonton needed to justify continuing on the path they're on in a lot of ways. I think if they didn't have this postseason run, it would have been really tough for them to bring the team back in any kind of similar fashion. But getting as close as they did, all things considered, I think that it makes it even more imperative and more obvious. They need to do whatever they can to get a goaltending tandem back there that's reliable and stronger. And maybe, I don't think they need to do drastic things to the defense and to the forwards, but probably add a little bit more talent and to the, you know, to the bottom six and some little bit more talent and depth on the defense. But, and then you just need to stay healthy and get lucky and maybe face some fourth string goaltenders the whole way through, like the Avalanche did. Not a big deal.
Edmonton Oilers Oh, sorry. I want to just piggyback off what you were saying. Edmonton Oilers offseason will be the one, the most interesting. You've already seen it. Jesse Puljujärvi already on the trade block. Analytically, he's a beast at fetching the puck, forechecking, all that kind of stuff. And he looks like he's supposed to be a star that like explodes one of these years. They want to move him out. Evander Kane put out an Instagram and Twitter thing that definitely sounded like he was leaving the Edmonton Oilers and was not staying. Maybe if you haven't looked, go check out Evander Kane's Twitter. It's right there. Don't follow him. He's a whatever. And then even Ken Holland at the end of the year, press interviews said that they don't have a number one goalie at all. And there's rumors Mikko Koskinen has already signed a deal in Europe. So he's out of there. And you don't know who Mike Smith is. And frankly, there's no real goaltenders that are amazing on the free agents market this year. So we'll see what they can do. But this team has some big holes to fill, especially in net. And I'm sorry, their defense got exploited against a team that is just as good as them in the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the defense could still need some pieces, but I don't know. There's a good chance it looks like Husso is going to be available. He's a UFA, and I don't see how the Blues be able to bring him back. I suspect Georgiev will be out there and playing for a different team next year.
Be a trade,
Yeah, I think that there was some talk. There's been some discussion that Kemper may not be coming back for Avs next year. I don't even know the contract, but I don't know. I think that I think there's going to be goaltenders out there that are good enough.
Jack Campbell's out there too, right? I forgot about him.
There's going to be guys that are good enough, I believe. It's just about whether or not Edmonton's going to be willing to or can pay them, and will do what they need to do to get those guys in the door. So, gang, that brings us to the actual matchup. The reason that we go through all of this the entire year, we've got the Stanley Cup Finals, the Colorado Avalanche facing off against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We talked about this briefly beforehand, and Ty and I don't know each other's choices. Ty, you said you have had trouble with this, and you might even be just making this up on the fly. Whereas I'll tell you right now, as soon as Tampa Bay won, I knew who I was picking. I've thought about it a couple of times, and I've tried to like roll it around. I haven't swayed. I know exactly who I'm picking, and I know exactly the games that I'm picking it in. And I think I have known for days now.
I'll let you go first then.
Well, I appreciate that. I've got the Avs in six. Colorado Avalanche winning in six games. I think that much like we've seen, I think there's every reason to believe that Tampa Bay is going to probably come out pretty hot. They're coming, Tampa Bay's coming right out of their series. Avs have had a bit of a break. You saw against, the Blues, they didn't come out completely on fire. They weren't playing poorly by any means, but they've had that break, which so often we see that as missing that step when you have to get going again. And Tampa's coming in hot. I think that Tampa's going to win a couple of games. I mean, they're the two-time defending back-to-back Asterisk Stanley Cup champions, for goodness sake. They're not going to go down without a fight. But I think that what you're going to see is that as much as they have that champions pedigree and they've got an amazing team, I think that the Avs are going to use that speed and that just drive, and they're going to overwhelm them in ways that they've overwhelmed every team they've played so far. And I think that whether it's Francois or Kemper, the goaltending back there is going to be good enough. I don't think either guy at this point in their career are shut down number one goaltenders, but Kemper's had a pretty good career. I've been a fan for a while. He had a decent season, but I don't think he's that guy right now. And I think he's still a little bit dinged up. Francois has, I think people, the Avs probably certainly hoped at certain points he would be that guy. I don't think he's that guy, but I think those guys can be good enough. And I don't think goaltending is going to be the separator. I don't think that Vasilevskiy is going to steal the series. I don't think that Vasilevskiy is going to be any different than a lot of the goaltenders that the Avs have faced, in the sense that they have so much firepower and speed, and they're almost playing at a level that I don't know if anybody else can really match for seven games. So I've got Avs in six. I think that they win, they drop a couple of games because Tampa Bay is that good. They've been here before. They're not going to get bothered by a tough game. I mean, they just went down 2-0 against New York. We've seen that. But I think the Avs have it. I think the Avs are hungrier. I think the Avs are faster. I think they're going to do it. Six games. Colorado Avalanche.
I think, and you're right, you nailed it where I was having trouble, and I'm still having trouble. I'm going back and forth in my head because I don't, off the top of my head, know what Darcy Kemper's health status is. I don't. And like you said, I'm more on the Francois train, as he's a great, you know, he could be a starter in this league. You said he was a 1A, 1B kind of goalie. I don't know what Nazem Kadri is. I've tried reading up today a lot and the past couple of days, and there's a glimmer of hope. He's skating. It doesn't mean he's going to play. And then you go also Tampa Bay's last two cups. They played Dallas, who is an overachiever. They should not have been there. It wasn't even a contest. Then the following year, they play the Montreal Canadiens again, who was an overachiever and also rode on the back of Carey Price and shouldn't have been there. Patrick Maroon has three Stanley Cup rings in a row. There's no possible way he could have four. No possible way. But you know who's coming back? Braden Point's coming back. You know who else has the better edge in goalie? Andre Vasa, effing Leski. You know who has faced adversity all playoffs? Seven games against Toronto. Swept the highest scoring team in Florida. Goes down 0-2 in round three against the New York Rangers. I'm taking Tampa Bay in seven. I think for the first time in our lifetime, we're going to see a true dynasty. Not two cups in a row, three cups in a row. This team is built for it. They have a great head coach. Great head coach. He's been there, done that. They know what they're doing. The rest worries me with the Colorado Avalanche. The injuries worry me with the Colorado Avalanche. They do. Nazem Kadri's injury. You put Nazem Kadri in that lineup and Darcy Kemper in that lineup, I'm taking Colorado. I am. Every day of the week. That team is loaded, right? On great cap hits by Nathan MacKinnon and Nazem Kadri. Both of them don't make seven this year. But losing Nazem Kadri is a huge loss. That means you're slotting Mikko Rantanen in as the second center. And I think Braden Point or Steven Stamkos eats them alive. I think Nick Paul, yeah, Jake Paul's brother. Just kidding, not his brother. But yeah, he has played great in Tampa Bay. Victor Hedman is, you know, he's won some Norrises himself. I'm saying Cale Makar is better, but I'm just saying Victor is great. This is the series that, you know, This is the most exciting Stanley Cup Finals series we've had since St. Louis, Boston. This is going to be entertaining. This is going to be heavy hitting. It's going to be fast. There's skill players on both sides of the puck. Nobody's an overachiever. They both deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. That's why I got Tampa in seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's lots of great storylines for this. You know, like I said, what we touched on early on, it's you're either seeing the emergence of a potential superpower in hockey finally exerting itself, or you see a team that, you know, a lot of smart people have said the last two Stanley Cups didn't even really count because they weren't true full seasons. You know, a lot of smart people have been saying that. Just going to throw that out there. You can do your own research, look it up. But if they can do this, it's all that aside, if they can win the Stanley Cup, that's three in a row. It looks the exact same on the cup. They don't talk about how many games they played in the season. They don't talk about anything else. They don't talk about any cap circumvention. Three Stanley Cups in a row is a feat that I think a lot of us thought wasn't going to be possible ever again. Just the way the salary cap, modern hockey, it's not possible. You can't do it. Even if they don't achieve it this year, I think that they still deserve all that credit for putting together a team and keeping it together and filling those holes and losing superstar players or very important players over the years and still just piecing it back together. A lot of credit to them. I do think that I do want to get caught up in the Pat Maroon Patty Maroon is my guy from St. Louis, wins the cup with St. Louis, signed there just so his kid could watch him play at home, wins the cup, bounces, brings that winning pedigree to a team that just got swept out of the playoffs. What a bunch of losers. Brings that winning pedigree to Tampa, teaches the boys how to win. Back-to-back cup champions. Awesome. Unfortunately for Patty, who should be getting his fourth cup in a row, he's playing now with the ultimate jinx and Corey Perry, who this is his third Stanley Cup in a row.
That's true.
And he's not getting it. He's going to cancel out Patty Maroon. He's ruining Pat's streak. So, yeah, that's why I think it's going to be Avs. Not just for that.
Just Corey Perry.
But I think we're going to see a fantastic series. I think that we're in for something really special, regardless of who wins in the end. But yeah, I got Avs. And let's just do a quick recap. First round, I think I had a respectable, I think it was 6 or 7 out of 8.
6 for 8, yeah.
You crushed it, 8 out of 8. Second round, both of us were caught sleeping, going 1 for 4.
Yeah.
I think Colorado was, no, we didn't have Colorado. It was
both St. Louis. I had New York, you had Tampa.
Yeah. And then in the conference finals, I mean, you got one of them right. That's something.
I guess so.
Hey, I mean, you picked the same as I did in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's how you got that little bump.
Yeah.
Your boy Mitz went 2 for 2 picking the conference final winners. Not a big deal. I don't want the accolades, the credit. It doesn't matter until this actual cup. So I like it. I like it. I've got Avs. You've got Tampa Bay. There's no takesies, backsies. We've got a little bit of time. Maybe we can figure out some kind of bet, something we can put on the line here. So we'll throw it out there to the millions of listeners and viewers at home. If anybody has an idea of what Tyler and I can wager on this, preferably nothing overly permanent, scarring, whether it's emotionally or physical, you know, nothing that we would have to hide in shame from our family and future employers. Yeah, other than that, I would have put my hair up against your mustache, but I already cut off my hair.
So yeah.
What can we do? Yeah, I don't know. Anybody gets any ideas, let us know. We'll see. Maybe we'll pick something out of the crowd there that we like. But
what's crazy is if you get this right and I get it wrong, we're tied. Like, yeah. What's the chances of that? I went 8 for 8. You went 6 for 8. 1 for 1. I mean, 1 for 4 in the second round, both of us. You went 2 for 2. I went 1 for 2. You win. This is tied. But if I win, I get the crown, baby. I get both. I get to know that I'm, you know, a better gambler, more intelligent at the game of hockey, about the game of hockey. Totally contradict myself right there, but that's okay. Let's carry on.
That's your second bleep of the episode.
Oh, right. So I got to really watch myself. I've been really lax these last couple of days. If you want to see the unedited version of our pod, just hit us up on YouTube. I don't bleep anything out. And we're not getting enough views, so it hasn't been taken down yet. So it's been great.
Oh, gang. Thank you very much for joining us. We've got an exciting Stanley Cup ahead of us. We'll see you again next week. We'll probably, I think, we'll be around game 3 or 4 at that point.
Without really looking first at game's schedule. Tuesday, yeah.
So that'll be exciting. We might be on the verge of crowning a champion at that point. Whatever day is, the 15th, I think. Is the
first, I think it's game, I think it's Wednesday then.
Yeah.
It is Wednesday.
Dang. All right. I'm Mitz. He's Twigs. Find us on socials. You know where they are. I'm not going to drag you through all that again. Don't forget to like, to subscribe, send us all your weird, fun things. Don't send us any pictures of your junk, please. But do be kind to each other and have yourselves a great week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Later.